Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
On this first Sunday of Lent, we welcome you to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop Michael Mulvey. How are you?
I'm very well, Jesse. How are you this morning?
I am glad to be here with you, and it's hard to believe we're already here on the very first Sunday of Lent.
I was just thinking of Christmas the other day, and it's long
It
gone.
Seems like it wasn't that long ago we were here.
It's interesting. We always have to live in the present moment,
right?
But every moment has a moment in which Jesus is teaching us something in our face that we're entering into now, Lent, and facing that, which is a good exercise for all of us every year.
And it is an opportunity in several ways for us to learn very much about ourselves and also to grow in our faith. As we begin today, will you share with us the gospel from Matthew?
I certainly will. It's from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these shall be given to you if you prostrate yourself and worship me." This Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan, for it is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So, a lot to talk about.
So many images, and of course, we talk about the imagery in the Gospels, but this one, the pictures that are painted by these very seemingly simple words lead us to a place where Jesus is being tempted, and all of us can relate to that in that respect.
Right. Exactly. I think what's important for us is to look at this happened after the baptism. So, the fact that Jesus sanctified the waters of baptism in which we are all baptized. And then he sets out on the journey through the desert. And if you've ever been to the Holy Land, if many of us have, it's an extreme environment. And to walk through the desert and be led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, guiding him into the desert for the mere fact of being tempted by the devil to show his humanity, but also a humanity that is redeemed, a humanity that is strong in God, but is also tempted. And so Jesus goes before us in life, and with the temptations that he endured, we can see those same temptations working out in different modes, but also in our own life. So if we simply look at the first one, Jesus was hungry, and therefore the devil took advantage of that need, of that inner need, that human need, physical need that he had. It was a physical need of hunger. And so the tempter simply said to him, "If you are the Son of God," in other words, doubting that he was the Son of God, "command these stones become bread, loaves of bread." And he replied, Jesus replied, "One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." We also can see how the Israelites, when they were led out of Egypt and were sojourning in the desert for 40 years, they too complained against God. They were hungry. They became thirsty. They felt abandoned. They felt that they had been deceived. And these are real things. These are human emotions that people go through. And so there's that temptation that we've been deceived. And so the devil was really saying to Jesus that if you're the Son of God, take the stones, because you don't eat stones, and you're hungry. He was kind of tempting him this way. You're hungry. look at the stones, you have no bread, but you're God, so make them into bread. It was a temptation for Jesus to exert a power that as a human, at this point, he was not ready to show. In fact, even at the wedding feast of Cana, when Mary asked him to take the wine, to change the water into wine, he said, my hour has not yet come. So even less in this time, right, before all that, he's in the desert and he's not ready to manifest himself. And so the devil was tempting him to take a human need of hunger and make something out of it as some kind of a miracle to express his divine abilities. And the beautiful thing is, to us, is that we do not live on bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. There is a spiritual hunger, especially today, in everyone. And so often we tend to focus on the material wants, maybe not needs, but desires and wants. And those take precedence in our lives, and we kind of follow after those, the material needs and desires. And Jesus brings us, I think, during this Lenten time, he wants to bring us to a deeper reality that we are hungry, we are thirsty, we are in need, but not so much in what the world can offer us, and not so much what maybe my physical being may desire, which can be good, but also can be very detrimental. So he's saying to us, there's a deeper need, and that's the hunger for God. There's the thirst for God's love. And that is found not in the physical, but is found in the spiritual, every word that comes from the mouth of God. I think it's wonderful that he is the Word. St. John says, the Word became flesh. So Jesus is the Word of God. His whole being, his divine nature, is that Word of God speaking to us and working among us. And it's from that, from him, that we receive the nourishment, the quenching of our thirst. It's always from Jesus. Lent, then, is that time of working ourselves to a greater reliance on Jesus Christ, on him and his person and his words, and not so much satisfying every little whim of need that comes up in our thought, mm-hmm, that comes to my head, but to consider that what really satisfies me is Jesus Christ, and discovering that maybe for the first time or maybe renewing that during this Lenten time.
It's so significant, too, that he uses, like you said, the physical hunger, the physical thirst, and he connects that to the need for his word, for him in our lives. And that's something we can all relate to, is, of course, you know, being hungry, being thirsty. But then if we're hungering for his presence out in the desert of whatever, yeah, desert we may find ourselves in, that's the connection that we are able to find today with him and that he offers us through this gospel.
Right. And I think, you know, for Lent, we all give up something, mm-hmm, or, you know, whatever it is, or we sacrifice in some way in those three modes of prayer and fasting and almsgiving are ways for us to turn the attention away from ourselves and turn it toward the Lord. Because he came as we're preparing. Of course, Lent is not an end in itself. Sacrificing for 40 days is not an end in itself. It's preparing us to recognize, and so we may not feel the real, I mean, the strong presence of Jesus during these 40 days. And thank God for that, because that's what the desert is all about, to be empty, so that as we approach Holy Week, and hopefully we'll celebrate all the three liturgies with the church, we see that that hunger that we have maybe experienced during these 40 days, thank God it's not 40 years, 40 days will be so strong that I want to know Jesus better. And so we come on Holy Thursday to celebrate the beauty of Eucharist, the very heart of the church, the washing of the feet on Holy Thursday, that our true meaning in life is to serve, is to love. And so Jesus teaches all of that in beautiful symbols in the liturgy on Thursday. And then to live with him on the cross, you know, the emptiness of Good Friday, mm-hmm, to be there as everything stands still, it's quiet, and which means really signals to us he lost everything, his very life for us. The beauty of his death as a gift of love for us. And so then on Holy Saturday night and Sunday, we can really celebrate his resurrection and to know that that is the heart of our faith. And that's why we really believe. St. Paul says, if he's not risen from the dead, then your faith is worthless and your believing makes no sense. but he has risen from the dead, and we are preparing ourselves spiritually during these 40 days to celebrate that enormous event in the human experience, that someone died for us, and that someone is God, and he was raised for us, and that someone is God. He humbled himself. And so Jesus leads the way for us toward Easter during Lent, and we begin with these huge temptations that he endured in the desert.
And the desolation of the desert sets the tone for all of that. And it is a way to help us maybe clear the decks, if you will, yeah. of our own lives. Maybe there's clutter in the way, spiritual yeah. clutter, even literal clutter that you need to kind of get out of the way in order to reconnect with all of these beautiful.
You know, with you saying that, Jesse, I was just thinking, you know, many of us think this is the Garden of Eden, the right. world we live in. Right. I can have anything. And yet you look across the world, there are people that just are happy to have one piece of bread all day long.
That's true.
And that, not to make us feel guilty, but it should right. awaken us that we don't live in the Garden of Eden. We live in the desert. The true desert of human life is that there is want and need. Even we may be satisfying ourselves on a daily basis and turning our eyes away from the needs of others. Mm-hmm. But Lent's about opening our eyes to the greater reality of who we are, as you said at the beginning. It's not only discovering that I can stay away from candy for 40 days, right. but it's opening my eyes to who I am. I'm a child of God, and Jesus Christ, whom I love, whom I follow, is setting the path for me, not to overestimate the power of God in the desert of my own life. Whether it's a physical desert of actually not having, or a spiritual desert of turning away from and not having the beauty of God in my life too.
So as we see, there's much to be found in the desolation of the desert. We begin our journey this Lenten season with that perspective that deepens everything yeah. that we see moving forward.
Right. So I think the first point for us in this three-tiered temptation is the Word of God. We feed on the Word of God, and we should every day.
Our Shepherd's View will continue.
It starts Monday, February 27th, and continues through Friday, March 3rd. But with only 3 segments per day, the time moves fast. It's Campaign 23 for KLUX HD Radio, and we need your help. Maybe you're a winter Texan, or maybe you've never contributed to KLUX. Or if you just like to say thanks for being there when we need you. Please join us Monday morning, February 27th, 7 o'clock, and all that week for Campaign 23. It's an opportunity for you to help 89.5 continue to be the first-rate radio station you've relied on for 38 years. We'll have phones ringing, live updates, visits from a celebrity or two, and a few laughs along the way. Since we receive no subsidies or tax money, and are not allowed to sell commercials, we must ask you for help to continue our unique, easy-listening music and inspirational music format. Remember, as long as you're there, we'll be here. 89.5 KLUX HD1 and HD2, now and forever, good company.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Jesse DeLeon here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this first Sunday of Lent, and we're reflecting on Matthew's Gospel.
Yes, so we go to the second. There's 3 temptations, as we know, and the second one is really an interesting one. The devil took him up to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple. It's a beautiful image. It's kind of an angle that comes together at the point of the wall, mm-hmm. and so it's a place where people could look out over the desert surrounding Jerusalem. And so he's up there on this wall, and he says, if you're the Son of God, then throw yourself down. It's a dramatic drop from the wall into the ground. And then he'll command your angels to come and save you and support you, and you won't even stump your toe. Don't even worry. You won't stump your toe. And Jesus said, again, don't put me to the test. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. So that's the second one, to kind of rely on the power of God, and you just do what you want. You can tempt God in so many ways. It's almost like, you know, wanting to worship a false God. Jesus was, he knew who the Father was, and he knew what God wanted of him. And I think for us as well, if we're people of prayer, if we know how to worship God, then we know what he wants of us. And to be tempted in such a way that we would worship the power of the promise of the devil. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. And if not me, the angels will take care of you. So it's false worship. And we do worship. And I think this is, again, another examination during these 40 days of Lent. What do I worship? As Jesus said, where your heart is, there your treasure is. So that's a good exercise during Lent. Where's my heart?
Right.
Is it in that next vacation? Is it in that vacation rental? Is it in the ideal car? Is it, where's my heart? Mm-hmm. Because that's what I worship. In other words, if I'm thinking about it all the time, we all need a car. Unfortunately, we have to have transportation. But it's that going beyond into kind of a luxurious mode. And so the devil's really tempting Jesus. You got all the power in the world. Don't worry about it because you're God's son. And if you're God's son, then throw yourself down and show your power. But he was wanting him to be false in his worship of God. If we remember also as we look at the journey, because life is a journey, and so our 40 days also commemorate, if you want to say it that way, the Israelites' journey from slavery in Egypt into the Holy Land, the land of flowing with milk and honey. And so, but it went from desert need to the fullness. It's our life. We go from want to the fullness, the lack to fullness. But we do it with God's help, not by performing some kind of trickery, which was asked for here. When the people in the desert got tired of waiting for Moses and tired for waiting on God's answers, they made their own idol, the golden calf, which we're all very familiar with, to worship that. To let that be their form of worship in their time of need. But Lent really is that time to perfect our ability to pay attention to the spiritual life that's given to us, to find a new relationship with God our Father, not a golden calf, not idol worship, not people worship, not group worship, but the truth, which is God himself.
And when people do that, they take God out of the equation completely and make it about them or about what their wants are, like you were saying earlier about, well, they want the car, they want the lifestyle or whatever it is. And that becomes their focus. And losing focus, you become even more lost. And I think that's why we meet so many people nowadays that are focused on those things. Mm-hmm. Yet when we ask them about their spirituality, they tend to find that they kind of don't really know where they are with that. And Lent gives us an opportunity, all of us an opportunity, to refocus and get back on the right track. As we hear in this gospel, and Jesus being tempted, something all of us relate to.
Yeah, I've heard several times of recent that, especially young people, and I really feel for them, that they're confused. They don't know who to listen to.
A lot of voices out there.
A lot of voices. The church, in many ways, priests, bishops, others have probably confused them, by the scandals and behaviors, and that certainly leaves a mark on people. It's not just an individual, but the church, our governments, our world, our leaders. It's just, where do you turn? And then the false messages of social media, of, I won't name the places, but places that produce images that are unreal and kind of entice people to be like that. And so we're all confused, but that's when we need God most. We don't need a golden calf. We need truth. And when a young person said to me recently that he was confused, and he asked what to do, and I said, you need to go into yourself and find the truth, who is God inside of you, and stop looking around with all the nonsense and the voices that speak nothing. Maybe a minute's pleasure, but it certainly does not compared to what we're looking for as human beings, which is total happiness, total joy, and total freedom. And that's God himself.
Very true. And I think that a lot of times young people, they're more focused on the instant gratification. They can go through the drive-thru and get the meal, as it were, without doing the real work. And sometimes that creates more confusion. But going through that confusion hopefully leads them in the right direction, like you're saying. And I think a lot of times, too, having a voice there, when we can offer them truth and we can show them the way, as you said, will hopefully lead them in the right way.
Right, and I want to be a defender of the young people. It's not just the young people.
Right. It's all of us, and we all
it's all of us. I think we've said
benefit
that.
From.
We've all said that too often, but it's everybody.
Yes,
it's not just them. It's just cultural life that we've kind of been, which lies to us. You can't get everything right away,
right.
No matter what it is. And so, to spend time in prayer this Lent, as one of the three ways of coming closer to God, prayer, almsgiving, and fasting, is to really be in the truth. And as you said at the very beginning, I like that, because many say that when you pray, you find not only God, but yourself. Because when you find God, you find yourself. When you understand yourself, you find God. It's when we don't know who we are and we're confused about who we are, then he's always there. He never takes his eyes off of us. I love the image of God looking at us.
And always being with us.
And always, because he's always there. And just, we stop looking.
We get distracted.
Yeah, I was thinking the other day, I was talking to doing a retreat with some priests, and I said, you know, all of us have heard when we were growing up, our parents saying, God's watching you, you know, which is like, oh my gosh.
Right.
But it was to get us to straighten up.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a negative connotation that God's watching.
Right.
For you to make a mistake. But this Lent, maybe we can turn that around. And I think I'm put something, I think, on the website.
Mm-hmm.
We'll hear about it later. Mm-hmm. But that God looks at me. Mm-hmm. And just, I think if this Lent, I'm giving different things during this talk, these talks, just think of God looking at us. As you go to bed at night, I'm maybe speaking to the young people especially, just think about God's looking at me in a way as if a father, a grandfather, or grandmother is at my bedside, just looking at me and loving me to sleep.
A loving gaze.
A loving gaze. And that's God.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the real worship that we want to give, is to that God who loves us. Finally, we go to the third.
Okay.
The third of the temptations. Then the devil took him up a very high place, and he showed him all the kingdoms and their magnificence. Wow. You can have it all.
Mm-hmm.
It's all your kingdom. All these, he said, I will give you if you just prostrate yourself and worship me. False worship again, pride, turning to Satan, turning to evil, turning to luxury, turning to, you know, quick answers, turning to everything that's not God. And so what the devil was trying to do, and this is where we get tempted to, the devil was trying to put doubt in the life of Jesus, in his mind. In other words, his total love for the Father, his unbreakable love for the Father, and mutually Father for him. And Satan was just trying to tempt it in the sense of putting some doubt in him. You don't need God because you can have all this. And if you have all of this, which for in that situation, you can have the whole world, you don't need God.
Mm.
And that's our temptation today, sisters and brothers. Whatever it is, whether it's something inside that's going on inside of ourselves, the temptations that we have towards something, or people telling us, you don't need God. You don't need the church. You don't need to go to Mass. You don't need all these things because you can have it all. Even the time that you spend in church is depriving you of something else. No, it's the other way around.
Right.
And this is the temptation that we all face. And so again, this Lent is really a time for us to say there's no substitute for the love of God. The devil, evil, pleasure is not a substitute for the beauty of God in our lives.
And he's always waiting to welcome us, no matter how far along we are, no matter how far apart we think we are. There's always that opportunity for connection and rebuilding.
Exactly.
Coming home.
And Jesus, in the end, never gave in. In the very end, what did Jesus say? Get out of here, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's all it takes.
That's true.
If you say it and believe it, it happens. So he never gave in. He was there for us, suffering these things, experiencing these things, so that we understand how to handle them ourselves.
Appreciate
with his grace, not by ourselves.
With his grace, of course. And with all of these thoughts that we have shared and these scriptural passages that we've reflected on, for a brief moment before we wrap up our program for today, we want to remind everyone of the Lenten video and podcast series that you are doing, Bishop, called Growing in Grace. And the first one is already on our social media platforms and on the diocesan website at diocesecc.org/Lent. And a tremendous effort on your part of putting everything together and bringing it all in one place. And we welcome people to watch these videos and reflect on them.
Yeah, it's not a six-part series, you know. They're all different.
Right.
And they're not the traditional Lent, you know, talking about Lent. Mm-hmm. We just did that today.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really just reflections on how can I live Lent? There's reference to some of the Gospels for those days.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would say is to take each one that Sunday
mm-hmm.
and look at it again, listen to it again, not because it's me. Hopefully you know, not because it's me. I'm very shy about these things anyway.
But it's a tremendous.
I had to do it. I did it out of love for everybody.
right.
But the thing is what do you hear? What are you being called to? What is the message?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the message that the Lord wants to put into your heart this Lent? So there's oftentimes throughout the week the a few of the words or a few of the sentences that are there will be repeated. And so there'll be a kind of a dynamic little, almost like a little Lenten retreat.
And it continues, begins today and continues every Sunday in Lent. A new video will be released. And Bishop, we thank you for taking the time to do that. It was a lot of love. It was a labor of love from a lot of people put together to help put that in place for everyone to enjoy and to reflect on this Lent. Again, it is called Growing in Grace. It's a video and podcast series. You can find the links at diocesecc.org/Lent.
But let me say something at the beginning. In the first video, I held it up, but I see it didn't show. When I was leaving, after I was just ordained 48 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I went into a store and I saw this little statue. And I thought, you know, I probably need that. I'm just starting out. Mm-hmm. But and it's just a picture of a little young man with a bird on his finger
mm-hmm.
and a little country hat. But it spoke to me of simplicity, of just being a simple person. Now, there's always challenges in my life, too. But I've always looked at that statue. So I would just want to point that out to all of us. Maybe the word simplicity can be a guide for us mm-hmm. being simple in our life and not be so complex.
And moving away from the things that clutter us and look for clarity.
Right.
And with that thought, Bishop, we thank you for your reflections as we wrap up the program with your prayer for today.
Father, as we begin this Lenten time, we know that you are calling us back to yourself, back to Jesus Christ, back to the church, and back to so many beautiful things that we've been given in our life. Never let us neglect your love and the love that you want us to give to one another, especially to those in need. Bless this Lenten journey through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.
A special evening of adoration, healing, and prayer is available to everyone at Our Lady of the Rosary Catholic Church, 1123 Main Drive in Corpus Christi, every second Friday of the month at 6 p.m. It will be an evening of spiritual healing, inviting God to prepare our hearts for adoration. You may call them at 361-241-2004 and send your petitions and testimonials. Father Gabriel invites you to attend, adore, and sit at the feet of Jesus and tell him your problems, and to experience conversion, compassion, forgiveness, peace, and joy. For more information, call Our Lady of the Rosary Parish Church, 361-241-2004.